baffling problems of nuclear weapon safety. With help from the psychiatrist Gerald J. Aronson, Ikley outlined some of the motivations that could prompt someone to disobey orders and set off a nuclear weapon. The risk wasn't hypothetical. About 20,000 Air Force personnel worked with nuclear weapons, and in order to do so, they had to obtain a secret or a top-secret clearance. But they didn't have to undergo any psychiatric screening. In fact, a history of transient psychotic disorders no longer disqualified a recruit from joining the Air Force. A few hundred Air Force officers and enlisted men were annually removed from duty because of their psychotic disorders. And perhaps 10 or 20 who worked with nuclear weapons could be expected to have a severe mental breakdown every year. In an appendix to the report, Aronson offered a catalog of derangement that seemed relevant to nuclear safety. The most dangerous disorders involved paranoia. Aronson provided a case history of the type of officer who needed to be kept away from atomic bombs. A 23-year-old pilot, a lieutenant, had difficulty in maintaining social contacts, fearful of disapproval and anxious to please. A few hours after he had to say sir to someone, he was overwhelmed with fantasies of tearing that person apart. He felt like exploding when in crowded restaurants. This feeling lessened when hostile fantasies of tearing the place apart occurred. He suffered anxiety attacks every 2 weeks or so in connection with hostile or sexual thoughts. To him, flying was exciting, rewarding in its expression of hostility and power. In another case history, Aronson described an Air Force captain who developed full-blown paranoid schizophrenia at the age of 33. His behavior became grandiose, inappropriate, and demanding. He considered himself the real commander of his unit and gave orders to a superior officer. At the height of these delusions, the captain nevertheless managed to log 8 hours on the B-25 bomber with unimpaired proficiency. Aronson thought that an unauthorized nuclear detonation would have a unique appeal to people suffering from a variety of paranoid delusions. Those who were seeking fame, who believed themselves invested with a special mission that sets them apart from society, who wanted to save the world and thought that the authorities covertly wish destruction of the enemy but are uncomfortably constrained by outmoded convention. In addition to the mentally ill, officers and enlisted men with poor impulse control might be drawn to nuclear weapons. The same need for immediate gratification that pyromaniacs often exhibited, the desire to see the tangible result of their own power as it brings about a visual holocaust, might find expression in detonating an atomic bomb. A number of case histories in the report illustrated the unpredictable, often infantile nature of impulse-driven behavior. An assistant cook improperly obtained a charge of TNT in order to blast fish. He lighted it with a cigarette. As he was examining it to make sure it was ignited, the explosion took place. The man was blown to pieces. "Private B and I each found a rifle grenade. We carried them back to our tent. Private K told us that we had better not fool with the grenades and to get rid of them. Private B said, 'What will happen if I pull this pin?' Then the grenade exploded. A Marine found a 37mm dud and turned it into the quartermaster tent. Later, a sergeant came into the tent and saw the dud. In disregard of orders and safety, he aimed the shell at a hole in the wooden floor of the tent and dropped it. He commented that he would make a pretty good bombardier. He dropped the shell at least 6 times. Finally, inevitably, it exploded. The sergeant was killed and 2 others were injured. Even relatively harmless motives, such as the urge to defy authority, the desire to show off, and the kind of curiosity which does not quite believe the consequences of one's own acts, could cause a nuclear detonation. The unauthorized destruction of a city or a military base would be disastrous, and Ikley addressed the question of whether such an event could precipitate something even worse. Nikita Khrushchev had recently claimed that an accidental atomic bomb explosion may well trigger another world war. The scenario seemed far-fetched, but couldn't be entirely dismissed. Amid the chaos following an explosion, it might not be clear that the blast had been caused by a technical malfunction, human error, a madman, or saboteurs. The country where the detonation occurred might think that a surprise attack had begun and retaliate. Its adversary, fearing that sort of retaliation, might try to strike first. Ikle believed that, at the moment, the risk of accidental war was small. He thought the leadership of both the United States and the Soviet Union would carefully investigate the cause of a single detonation before launching an all-out attack. And he felt confident that America could withstand the loss of a major city without much long-term social or economic upheaval. But an unauthorized detonation in the United States or Western Europe could have unfortunate political consequences. It could fuel support for disarmament and neutrality, increase opposition to American bases overseas, weaken the NATO alliance, and facilitate a peaceful expansion of the Soviet sphere of influence. Indeed, the military and political benefits to the Soviet Union would be so great that it might be tempted to sabotage an American weapon. The U.S. defense posture could be substantially strengthened by nuclear weapons safeguards that would give a nearly absolute guarantee against unauthorized detonations, Ikle concluded. He urged that more research be conducted on nuclear weapons safety, that new safety mechanisms be added to warheads and bombs, that Air Force personnel be screened more thoroughly for psychiatric problems. And he offered one solution to the problem of unauthorized use that seemed obvious, yet hadn't been tried. Put combination locks on nuclear weapons. That way they could be detonated only by someone who knew the right code. None of these measures, however, could make weapons perfectly safe, and the United States had to be prepared for accidental or unauthorized detonations. In a subsequent RAND report, Ikle offered suggestions on how to minimize the harm of an accidental nuclear explosion. If such an accident occurred in a remote area so that leakage to the press could be prevented, no information ought to be made public. If the accident has been compromised and public statements become necessary, they should depict the accident as an occurrence which has no bearing on the safety of other weapons. In some circumstances, it might be treated as if it had been an experiment. Internally, of course, information about the accident should not be suppressed. An official board of inquiry should be established, headed by military